WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back. You are listening to the student section on WVUA 90.7, the Capstone. And we are about to get underway with our predictions for the NBA regular season awards. So starting off, Connor, which award did you want to start with? Like, I guess we should start with MVP.
Yeah, I would say MVP.
Okay. I was thinking maybe doing it like, I don't know. I'm
all right, yeah, let's start with MVP. Let's just start with MVP. So I'll go first. My MVP pick, I think he's been in the conversation at the beginning of the year a lot recently, for multiple years now, but it's always been, you know, it's always been Jokic and Embiid always coming to the end. I think this is a year. I think they finally got the talent around him. Give me Luka Doncic. I think it's his time. I think he's entering his prime. We saw what he did in the FIBA World Cup. He was pretty electric when they actually were winning. So Kyrie Irving, you know, his second year. They got Derek Lively, right, from out of Duke. So I think they finally got a big that he can actually utilize. So
it's gonna take him some time, I feel like, but yeah.
I think it's his year.
And I think it's gonna be also speaking on the Derek Lively, I think I'm trying to think of that vet who went at who we should not talk of at the playoff series. Jared Dudley, who's what I was thinking of.
Jared Dudley.
Yeah, he's their I guess their trainer for young players.
I know he was a coach. I couldn't remember where. Yeah, he was part of the staff.
I think he was part of Phoenix at some point, and then he went over to Mass, but I'll double fact check that.
Okay.
But it's funny you say that for you have Luka as your MVP vote. That was actually who I wanted to initially go with. But then I've been thinking, I think it's still going to take some time for them to get like the chemistry going, figure it out. But I do think they'll get there. I also think he's just going to get off to a slow start because I don't know if you heard, he's dealing with a leg injury.
Okay.
And he's kind of talked about it like heading into the offseason, but he said that's he's not going to let that stop him, but he said he's just going to play through it this season. So it kind of makes me wonder of how serious that injury is, if he's talking about playing through it through the season. And like, but I just think he's going to get off to a slow start.
I don't really see him coming off to an electric start like he usually does, but I think by the end of the year, I think he'll pick it up.
Yeah, and that I can totally see the case for it. Because of my reasoning, I'm going to go with Jason Tatum. Same reasoning you just went with. He's been in the conversation now for a couple years, been lingering around, and we know he hasn't had postseason success. Mm-hmm. But I think because of that, you're going to see him come out 10 times harder this year because he's been super close the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Getting to the finals.
He's been in the conversation a lot recently. By the second half of the season, he's kind of fell off a little bit. So
I think we're going to see – I mean, we'll see. We'll see how they get things used to. Because, you know, Kristaps trade is going to be huge for them.
Yeah, no Marcus Smart either, which will be – I feel like it would be really difficult for the locker room because he was their kind of glue guy who kept everything together.
And that's why I think Jason Tatum's going to have to take that step to be a leader. It's like when Shaq left the Lakers kind of and Kobe had to step up. I think it's going to be – I'm not saying Marcus Smart is Shaq. Don't get me wrong.
No, of course not. I would never say that.
But now I'm just saying he's going to have to be that locker room guy and just make sure everyone's on the same page and doesn't get too low, doesn't get too high. And I think Marcus Smart is still going to be a huge loss for the Celtics.
Yeah, I completely agree about Marcus Smart loss. And I wouldn't say I disagree with the Jason Tatum thing. I would just – be cautious of it because they added Kristaps. They lost Marcus Smart. They lost Grant Williams. A lot of depth and a lot of the guys who would get dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Grant Williams would be the guy to go out. He would guard Joel Embiid because Al Horford, he did good last year, but you wouldn't really want him going out guarding Embiid every night, nor Robert Williams. They had, you know, design plays to collapse on him. Grant Williams would be the guy to actually go out there and get in his face and, you know, didn't work against the Heat, but he tried to get in Jimmy Butler's face. Wasn't the right person, but he's the guy to actually do that. Marcus Smart, on the same hand, would also be the guy to pick up the best player. You know, he'd be the guy to, hey, let's get going. Let's fire up the team. So with those two losses, it's going to be tough. They're not big names, but at the same time, I think it'll be difficult.
And now they're both worth, over $250 million?
Yeah, I think Grant Williams kind of got overpaid.
But if you're the Dallas Mavericks, you kind of have to. You need that talent at this point because Luka's getting angry. Well, not angry.
But he's getting discomfort with the organization.
Yeah. Unsettled.
So next we'll talk about who's your most improved player of this season.
Well, it's funny you say that. We actually interviewed him here on WVUA 90.7 last year. And a really exciting opportunity. And I think now that his franchise is more stable, he's going to make a huge jump. My pick is Jabari Smith Jr.
I love to hear it.
I think he had a low-key, a very underrated rookie year. Mm-hmm. I think it was kind of like because of the rookie last year, Paolo.
Yeah, Paolo.
He kind of got undermined, and Walker Kessler came up out of nowhere a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, just how good the Utah Jazz were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think not enough was said about how the Houston Rockets started to look really good in that second half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Like, exactly.
Especially for a young team that was having a lot of coaching issues and controversy. We're not even going to talk about, like, another situation that's going on right now.
But, yeah.
Like, that's just a whole
I think he's done.
Oh, 100%.
You think done for, like, the entire NBA or just done for the Rockets?
Someone will pick him up.
Maybe. I think
it's going to be time, though.
He's definitely showed he's not the greatest person off the court with everything that's been going on, and what just happened recently is insane. So I think he should be out the league. I think he should be in jail if this is all true.
Yeah.
But
it's like
we'll wait it out and see what's going on.
Right. And this is a teammate of Jabari, not Jabari. I just want to make that very clear.
Yeah, let's make that very clear.
So I just think he had a lot of big clutch moments, too, that doesn't get talked about.
Yeah, he was one of the clutchest rookies, if not the clutchest rookie.
And I think you saw the offseason footage of what he's been doing. Just like, I know he's been teaching young kids at overtime. Just always looking like he's in the gym. There was a little clip of him balling at an open run. I think at Rico Hines, maybe. I don't know where the location was. But he was with Kevin Durant, getting a few tips from him.
Yeah.
I think we saw that with Jalen Green as well. I just think that this Houston Rockets team is more built for him, because now you actually have Fred VanVleet and not taking any shots at, like, Jalen Green or something.
A guard with vision.
Yeah, a guard
true point guard.
Yeah, not a scoring guard.
Yeah, I think Jalen Green is going to be a great shooting guard, but I don't think he fits the point guard role.
Right.
And now that KPJ is off the team,
right,
I would say, I think Fred VanVleet in the starting lineup is going to be very good. I think Tari Eason will be the starting small forward.
Another great underrated name.
Yeah, very great. They both showed out in the summer league, Tari and Jabari, of course.
Yeah.
Great, great duo. I agree with you, honestly. That's not my most improved, but I do see what you're saying. I think Ime Udoka would be a great coach for them.
Yeah.
I think
Ime Udoka is going to make sure he's in every single right position. I truly believe that.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Fred VanVleet ends up coming off the bench and Amen Thompson gets a start later in the season.
I forgot about Amen Thompson. What a huge draft pick that was. I think both the Thompson twins, I think, are going to be culture changers.
I agree. And I think Amen Thompson will be great on the defense side of the ball for the Rockets, as well as just true point guard.
Because
his vision we saw in the summer league was incredible. I think Jalen Green will take a big step just because he doesn't have to be the guard that actually has to pass the ball and lead the offense.
About getting everybody else involved.
Yeah.
He can just go out and get buckets, which
I think Tari Eason will be a good – will improve. Because we saw that in the summer league. He looked really good defensively and just attacking the basket.
Don't forget Baby Jokic.
Alperen Sengun, he's very underrated. I just don't really like the way he moves, but
I don't get it.
I don't get how he's just unathletic yet so athletic at the same time.
But he's dominating. It's like, it really is. Like, I get the nickname Baby Jokic because one, he moves like that, like unathletically, but yet is getting buckets, but yet has the vision too. And also he gets like a lot of surprising posters.
Yeah, I'm just like where does this come from?
Like prime Shaq post spin, just dunk, hammer. Like, it's kind of like interesting, but yeah. So who's your pick?
So my most improved player is actually Jordan Poole.
Okay. Yeah,
and
I'm
not going to say he's been good recently with the team, but he's always been on and off and inconsistent just because he's had to take the back seat to Curry, Clay, Andrew Wiggins, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think he got a little knocked down.
Yeah.
Like double entendre. Yeah.
Well, I think him going to Washington and him being, the main man or second fiddle to Kyle Kuzma, it's going to be one of the two.
I think he's definitely the guy.
I think Kyle Kuzma and, Jordan Poole on the same level. But you saw what Kyle Kuzma did when he went to the Washington Wizards when he became the guy.
Kyle Kuzma, to me, is more like a better Tobias Harris.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree. But
I think Jordan Poole's a little better than – Jordan Poole, to me, is like Tyrese Maxey level. But I'm saying when he's, like, fully engaged – when he's fully engaged and he's not taking, like, just random pull-up shots every 2 seconds.
But when is he not taking random pull-up shots?
I just think he was checked out last year. I really do. I think a lot of
stuff.
I think
that
happened.
Punch messed him up
with
Draymond.
That's what I'm saying. That knockdown. I think that literally messed him up in like the chemistry. There was times like you saw last year, like when the Warriors players would come talk to him.
Yeah.
And they would just, and he would just brush them off and ignore them. I think there was a moment like in the playoff series, like he got the ball on top of the wing and he just immediately took a dumb shot. And,
oh, yeah, yeah. And Curry, the Sacramento series.
Yeah, and Curry was pissed.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, and then I'm sure they were going to miss him. Don't get me
of
wrong.
Of course.
But
I think he's just going to be a stat patter. I don't want to say stat patter with the Washington Wizards, but he's going to be the guy that has the ball. He's going to take all the shots.
A lot of volume, yeah.
Yeah, so I think Jordan Poole just fits that role because that's. I feel like that's what happened with Lauri Markkanen.
I think, see, I'm really high on Jordan Poole as a player. I am. I'm not going to lie. When I say really high, I mean like, I'm not saying like a Steph Curry level. I'm not saying like, I'm not saying a Joel Embiid level. I'm trying to think of like a player, like a Bradley Beal level.
I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. I would say more like Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford or Jamal Murray?
Jamal Crawford.
Oh, Crawford. Okay. So, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. I don't mind that either.
He's very skilled, but it's, I don't know, like, I feel like the right role for him for a winning team is just coming off the bench.
Okay. I mean, I see what you're saying from there, and I like that comparison, actually, because, like, their abilities are kind of the same. Yeah, I don't hate that, actually. I love that comparison. So, give me an estimate on how many points you think he'll average if he stays healthy.
If he stays healthy, I think he'll average around 23, 24.
That's a good range. I was thinking 22, maybe something around that range. 22, I want to say close to 40, 50, 90. I'm going to go like 42.
For who?
Poole.
Oh, I'm
go 42. No, I'm sorry. 48, 42.
Okay.
88.
I would say his field goal percentage would be pretty low. Lower than we see from a normal guy because I feel like he's going to be a shot chucker.
Maybe.
So I would say more like 40, 45, 37.
Okay.
86.
Okay.
That would be my prediction
for
that.
Yeah, that's good. We'll have to come back and revisit that because I'm actually really interested in that.
So who's your DPOY?
It's the guy that never wins it. It's like the same thing with Rudy Gobert. I'm just glad he hasn't cried yet. I'm going to go with Bam Adebayo.
Bam Adebayo. Okay.
How do you say it?
Bam Adebayo.
Bam Adebayo. Mm-hmm. All right. Not Bam Adebayo.
No.
Adebayo.
Adebayo.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to go with Bam Adebayo.
Okay.
Because he's just been so close these past couple years. He's always in like a finalist, but he never wins it. And I just think at some point when you're on that level, like, you know, being named Defensive Player of the Year, you're bound to break out. Like, I feel like we saw Draymond before he got it. He was in that conversation for a while, and then he got it. Kawhi was in that conversation, and then he got it. Rudy Gobert, most famous, complained about it.
Rudy Gobert.
And then he got it.
Wait, before we go anywhere, Rudy Gobert is somehow considered a star in NBA league standards in the whole rest situation, so I feel like that's just crazy, but go on.
I think it's because, how many All-Stars have he made? Three? Was it three?
Yeah, it's been a few, just because of his shot blocking ability, which...
Literally, that's it. But we're not going to get into that, but yeah, I could go on a whole rant about that. But it's just like, I think it's Bam's time, and... I couldn't really think of like another name because I don't think Draymond's going to be here. Usually the same guys kind of like in the same conversation.
I think this is the one where it's just the same guys over and over again.
Yeah, and like as much as I want to say Jaren Jackson, I just think what we saw from the World Cup, Final Cup.
Yeah.
And plus it feels like there's a lot of controversy last year with like the stat padding of Memphis and then like...
I do think he's a great shot blocker. The only thing I don't... I feel like...
The foul trouble.
Yeah, exactly. He won't recreate it just because of how much he fouls.
Yeah, it's Steve Kerr literally said that's one of the reasons we lost is because he fouled out.
Yeah. He always fouls out and he always just jumps and just out of control. So,
but you gotta love his effort though, and he's still gonna be a huge piece
of course
for Memphis.
So my defensive player of the year, it's a new name. He's very young. I'm gonna say Evan Mobley.
Okay. Yeah.
Just because his size and his length is insane and not having to play the five, it's going to be very big. He's going to be able to guard all the big names such as like, you know, he's going to guard KD. He's going to guard LeBron. He's going to guard Luka. I think he's going to be the guy who could actually shut down these players just because of how quick he can move for a big guy like himself. I think this is the year he puts it all together. I think he's going to be a great defensive player. I think he's going to be a defensive stopper on the court. I think he's going to come out of nowhere just like Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I completely forgot about Evan Mobley a little bit. It's also just because they have Jared Allen, which would also be a good, like...
Yeah, I think Jared Allen's a better version of Rudy Gobert on the offensive side of the ball, but defensively just a little.
Oh, Evan Mobley can definitely do more and cover more ground for sure.
Oh, of course.
Especially the guards, too. But I want to say I love that pick, actually. You make me want to change my pick. But I don't know. I think that's I'm trying to think of, like, anybody else who's, like, a young player that we can possibly say.
I mean, I guess we were talking about Jabari. He put on some weight this summer.
Walker Kessler, maybe?
Walker, yeah, I could see Walker.
Like actual another Rudy Gobert?
Yeah. No, I think he's a little bit better than Rudy. Yeah. Not even a little. I think he is better than Rudy.
Offensively, is
Yeah, sure. Offensively a lot better. Defensively, I don't think he's as great as a shot blocker, but then again, he's almost there.
What do you think about a guy like Scottie Barnes? Do you think he's good?
I think Scottie Barnes can do it. I think it's just tough with the market he's in with Toronto. I don't know if he'll get the recognition. So that's the one thing. There's always going to be teams who get more recognition than others.
Even when Kawhi went to the Raptors, I don't think the Raptors got any love from any national media.
Exactly.
So I see what you're saying there. But for right now, we're going to take a little break. We're going to talk about, when we come back, I'm sorry, we're going to talk about our Coach of the Year predictions, Sixth Man of the Year predictions, and Clutch Player.
And Rookie of the Year. Don't forget Rookie of the Year.
How did I forget? Thank you for catching that for me. So you're listening to the Student Section on WVUA 90.7.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Well, I'm sorry about that. That is my fault. But you are listening to the Student Section on 90.7. We are back underway with the second part of our conversation for the NBA regular season awards. Where do we leave off?
So we're on Coach of the Year now.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, do you want to start that off?
Yeah, I'll start it off. I'll go with my Coach of the Year prediction is Mark Daigonut. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
That's so crazy. That's what I have.
The OKC coach.
And I said Mark question mark.
Yeah, I think we can all agree. I think this OKC team is primed for a great season. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander broke out last year. I think he's only going to continue his climb. They're getting Chet Holmgren back, which is going to be really nice. It's going to be a really good pickup, even though I'm not the biggest fan of Chet. He looked pretty good on the defensive side of the ball for the Thunder. And honestly, the Thunder were really missing a center last year with the interior presence. So
guess who's back?
Getting him back is going to be really nice. I think both Jalen Williams were going to be great, especially J-Dub, the forward out of – I forget where he went. It's a small school. The Rookie of the Year candidate, not the other Jalen Williams that came out of Arkansas.
Yeah. We know that one.
We know that one. But I think J-Dub is going to be really good. I think he's going to take another big step.
I want to say he went to Fresno State or something. But
it was something like that. San Jose State. No, it definitely wasn't San Jose State. But I think he'll take another big step. I like the rookie Cason Wallace out of Kentucky. I think he'll be a good pickup. He was one of the best defensive guards in the league last year. I think Josh Giddey will take another step. I think this team is just They made the play-in last year with just a lot of young talent,
They almost got the job.
Yeah, they almost got they won the first play-in game and then got blown out in the second one. But I think all these young players are going to take another step. I think getting Chet Holmgren back is going to be very big, and I think these new rookies that are coming in are just also going to be very big. So I think that's my Coach of the Year. I think they'll be 7th, 6th seed by the end of the season.
I like your pick, and obviously I love your pick because I picked the same thing. But just for the sake of conversation, I'm gonna pick someone else in a second. But like you said, I think for all the reasons you just explained, that's exactly why I'm high on this team. And when you have a coach that's also just helped out by one of the best GMs in the league, I think the sky's limitless. I don't even know if that's the correct saying or cliche,
correct.
Okay, cool. But also to answer your question, Jalen Williams went to Santa Clara,
yeah, okay. I knew it was like a small school in California.
I just couldn't remember it. But it's just for the sake of conversation, I am going to pick a different coach,
okay,
even though that is my true pick. I also want to make a consideration for Jamal Mosley, head coach of the Orlando Magic.
Orlando?
Yeah, the reason why is because I think the Magic are going to surprise a lot of people this year, but it was kind of what I was saying about the Bucks.
Yeah.
It's like they're not going to be a great team. But I don't think they're going to be a terrible team. I think they're going to be a team that's going to be competitive and surprise a lot of people every now and then with some wins.
I think they're going to be a sneaky team. They're going to be a team that you expect to beat, but on certain nights, they're going to be everywhere because I kind of agree. I think the Magic are in a weird place. I like their young talent,
that's
Jalen Suggs.
Yeah.
I like Cole Anthony. I like Paolo.
And
Wendell Carter is kind of nice. I like him a little
bit.
Yeah,
he fits their role great. I think they have a new vet in Joe Ingles that's going to be a lot to teach some of these young guys. I don't think Joe Ingles is going to, like, you know, be out there like,
yeah,
like
no.
prime Joe Ingles. But I think he's going to be very interesting to watch. I like some Anthony Black, their draft pick, I'm really high on.
I want to see how Anthony Black plays, because
he's like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything too.
He's not great at anything, but he's
like
pretty
Marcus
serviceable.
Smart. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I would say Marcus Smart's great at defense, so I wouldn't
really
consider that.
Yeah, that's fair. He was defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
But like Anthony Black is pretty good at defense as well. He's 6'7" guard.
Yeah.
Like I think he can do a whole lot. Like, I think he's going to be a walking triple. I think he could be what Michael Carter Williams was supposed to be.
Okay.
You know
I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think he has the potential. I think if everything plans out, he will be a very good prospect, but the only problem is he's in Orlando right now.
Yeah.
So.
But I think when you have a guy who's like a franchise, like a guy who, which Paolo is.
He's supposed to be the guy.
Yeah, I think what all, if, you know, what we saw this offseason, him working out with KD, LeBron, and all these guys, I think he's going to take a next step, and I think he's going to be really good, and I think he can take these guys with him. I also just like, hopefully Jonathan Ingles can stay healthy, but in my opinion, they need to trade Jonathan Ingles. I mean, not Jonathan Ingles, Jonathan Isaac.
Oh, Isaac, yeah.
I think he's been injured like almost every year.
Isaac just, I feel so bad for him.
Yeah,
every...
you have to, like... That knee must be done. But
yeah.
Because I think it's like 4 straight years with a knee injury
or
something.
It's since the bubble.
Yeah, it's been really bad.
Yeah.
But I'm also high on Greg Anthony's son, the commentator, Cole Anthony.
Yeah, Cole Anthony. I think he'll be good.
I think he's a great locker room guy. I think he's just...
Do you follow his TikTok?
He's hilarious.
His TikTok's hilarious.
Yeah, he's just... Oh, his Twitter interactions online are hilarious, too.
His just internet, just social media presence is hilarious.
I'm a huge fan, so that alone, like, also gives me, like, just a reason to root for him. But Markelle Fultz. Yeah, he's looking a lot better. I'm looking healthy. It looks like he's got that confidence that got him to that number one pick.
I'm praying for him. I really do enjoy his game, and... You know, most players who get ran out of Philly are not the best, but he accepted it.
Yeah.
So
he still thanks Philly to this day. He was like, they were really supportive of me.
I think he's a very humble guy, very great. I think he can honestly get, I don't want to say get back to that potential, but he looks like he can be what he was supposed to be, low-key, kind of.
And my, of course, just to mention their other like draft picks, I think it was Caleb Houston and then Jed Howard.
Yeah, Caleb Houston came out of
Michigan.
Michigan? Yeah, it was Michigan. Where did Jed Howard come from?
Michigan.
It was both Michigan?
Yeah,
I knew one of them was Michigan.
They were both Michigan. And then shout out to Jed Howard's father, Juan Howard. I think he just got out of heart surgery today. We're hoping that he's all right and he gets better.
Yeah, prayers up to him.
But I think I'm really sold on this team. And there's one more point I was going to make. Oh, like you said, mentioned earlier, the hidden piece for me is Jalen Suggs.
Yeah.
His former fourth round pick, overall pick. You know, we haven't seen him take that step we wanted.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the bottom line.
He's been good, but not like fourth overall pick good.
And it's kind of similar for like Jaden Ivey. I think he's going to have another, that's another candidate I'd love to put for most improved player. We could go back, but I'm not too high on them. Oh, Cade Cunningham. That's what I should have put.
Cade.
I think that's a great option.
There's a lot
back.
Of good options this year.
I want to change mine to Cade. No,
okay.
Jabari and Cade. I'm going to do two. All right, but besides that, we're going to go to our sixth man of the year.
Why don't you start us off this time?
Sixth man of the year is really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like it's kind of like the same guys again, referring to like defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Like we've seen that with Lou Will, who's won it 3 times, and Jamal Crawford. This is the second time Jamal Crawford's been mentioned today. Shout out to Jamal Crawford. But I'm going to go with someone who really showed us something. Former lottery pick, showed us something this last year in the postseason, and it was key to the Sacramento Kings getting to the playoffs.
Malik Monk. Okay. I like that pick. I like that pick a lot. He definitely just showed up out of nowhere at the end of the year.
Exactly. And I think the coach, I'm sorry, Mike Brown.
Yeah, Mike Brown.
He's really a player's coach, I feel.
He put another level of trust in him that no one really did with Malik Monk, and he just
snap
blossomed.
And I think this is probably the best situation he's been in. I know he was at Charlotte and then he was at the Lakers, right?
Yeah, Charlotte and Lakers.
Yeah, so I think this is probably the most stable place he's probably been in.
I know Lakers, he had a really good, I don't want to say really good, but he had a sneaky year.
For Malik Monk, he's a volume shooter. He needs to be able to keep taking shots. And Lakers, he's that corner roll guy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, you got to wait on your turn. But I just think volume shooter, green light when he comes in from the bench, I think those are the guys I think are usually when the sixth man of the year.
I can see that.
But I'm interested to hear your take.
So my sixth man, he's never, I don't think, I wouldn't say I don't think he's ever came off the bench before. And I, you know, just getting traded this year, I think there's a possibility, you know, with the heavy guard play ahead of him, his age. I think Chris Paul could be a candidate for Sixth Man of the Year. My Sixth Man of the Year pick is Chris Paul, just because they haven't announced the starters yet, but I would think Chris Paul would be coming off the bench just because they got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Wiggins.
If I can, I like the pick, but my thing would be I think Klay Thompson's going to come off the bench.
I don't think Klay Thompson would, just because, you know, Chris Paul is so old.
Well, I'm thinking that too, but I'm thinking, well, one, it's Chris Paul, and like I feel like Chris Paul is like one of those guys who's like Carmelo. He's like, hey, they said I'm coming off the bench.
No, I think that? Chris Paul would fit into his role, because he took that, I don't want to say he took that role, but he took the back seat with the Suns. He let the ball go to Devin Booker and KD a lot.
But he's still a starter, though.
He was. Yeah. I would say, you know, playing with Steph, you're going to have to be kind of off-ball a lot. I know Steph is a really big off-ball mover as well, but I think you got Steph, you got Klay, you got Wiggins. Draymond's already in that role where it's you give him the ball. So I think
though, like, for me, it's like it's going to be like a Sean Livingston when he played with the Warriors. I think he's going to do that type of role.
I think Chris Paul will come off the bench a lot of games, but I think he'll play a lot as well. So I'm not saying he's going to be a guy who just strictly comes off the bench and just, you know, traditional six man. I think he'll come off the bench, which what you need to be for six man, and just he'll end up playing like the final minutes. I think he's just going to be big for the backup unit and getting them involved and getting them running.
That's what I'm thinking too. But that's why in my way, I just think like Klay Thompson, if they move Klay Thompson to the bench, it's going to preserve him a little bit and make it less difficult for him to guard those tougher matchups.
I wouldn't say that, because if you move Klay Thompson to the bench, who's going to be their backup ball handler?
What do you mean? Like, if you move him to the bench?
Yeah, if you move him to the bench and move Chris Paul to the starting point.
It would be Chris Paul, like Steph.
No, I'm saying you take out Steph and Paul. Who's the backup point guard, the backup unit? Who's going to run the offense?
I got to look at the roster.
Nobody that we can think of right now.
Like, yeah, I can't think of anybody.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, Chris Paul would be the perfect guy for, like, the second unit.
It would be Ty Jerome. Is that who I think?
That's who came to mind for me, but I don't. Oh, my goodness. My voice crack is getting really bad right now.
I just think it's hilarious. You're like, who's that other guard for the Warriors? I mean, Gary Payton?
No, I still wouldn't have him running the offense.
Corey Joseph?
No. But you see what I'm talking about.
I get what you're saying. I just think, like, but if you start Chris Paul, you're gonna leave him out there with, you know, Moses Moody. And then Jermichael Green.
I think they have a lot of good off-ball players. I just don't think they have another on-ball, like,
I think,
facilitator besides Curry.
I think some of these young guys, too, that we're not hearing from, because they always have this one young guy that comes out of nowhere, I feel like. Or gets, like...
The Bravolosky guy, the rookie?
I was going to go Quiñones, the guard.
Okay.
The 6'5 guard. But we'll see.
Yeah, that's my pick. I just think if he comes off the bench, he'll be my Sixth Man of the Year pick.
And I like it. I like that pick. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that just works in general, especially now that they just gave Jordan Poole's number to Chris Paul.
Yeah, so now let's move on to Rookie of the Year. Who's your Rookie of the Year pick?
This one's tough. Can you come back to me for this
one? Yeah, I'll come back to you. My Rookie of the Year pick, everyone wants to say Victor Wembanyama. And even though I think he's the biggest name to come out of the draft, I don't think he's really like that big, just because I don't think he has a size to act. We saw in the summer league, he was kind of getting pushed around a lot. He did look good in the last game he played. But my Rookie of the Year pick is going to be Scoot Henderson. I think if Damian Lillard isn't the guy and he's not going to be playing a lot, I think Scoot Henderson is going to take that role as a starting point guard. And I think that just give him the reins and just let him do him. And he only played, what, half a game in the summer? Only half a game, because he got injured in the second quarter of the summer league opener. But he looked impressive. So I think that's my Rookie of the Year.
Well, my Rookies of the Year, this is going to be so wild of a take. But I'm gonna go back to the year. Let's see. Who am I trying to think who won this award? Do you know the story of Jason Kidd and Grant Hill?
Explain it real quick.
Jason, they both were entered in the 1995 draft, and as rookies, Jason Kidd and Grant Hill. And do you know who won Rookie of the Year?
I don't.
They both did. Co-Rookies of the Year. So I'm giving Co-Rookies of the Year to the Asar twins, the Thompson twins. I'm sorry.
That would break the internet.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, can you imagine that two twins, for some reason, just end up same identical stats? They somehow get both their franchises, who've been struggling, jump wins, not like too large of an amount, but like noticeable amount of wins.
Yeah.
And they both have huge contribution to both of their teams. Wouldn't it just be funny if the NBA was like, let's just give it to the Thompson twins. They both get Rookie of the Year. So I'm going to give co-host Rookie of the Year. Hasn't happened since 1995. But why not? Give me the Thompson twins. I want it to happen. I just think it would be a cool storyline.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I think that's really...
Is it realistic? Probably not. But,
no, it's definitely not realistic.
But there's a shot. I mean, there's precedent.
It's happened once.
Yeah, there's precedent. So we'll see what happens. But, like, I'm just saying, the only reason I say that point, too, is because I really like both of these Thompson twins. Like, I think both of them are going to impact their teams a lot this year. And I think Detroit, you saw how Cade Cunningham was before he got shut down for the World Cup. I just think they're going to take a next step. Jaden Ivey, I'm a little worried about.
Cause I think Jaden Ivey will step up.
Yeah, but I want him to have a big sophomore season because I know last year he struggled. What do you think about Killian Hayes, though?
Killian Hayes, so that's my thought about Killian Hayes.
You think he could ankle break you?
I think Killian Hayes can take a seat on the bench. That's what I think.
The only reason I asked that is because I don't know if you saw Killian Hayes. He put out this video and with his trainer, and his trainer was just faking breaking his ankles.
I didn't even see that.
Oh, it was hilarious. They were just he was just getting roasted in the comments because it was very clear that his trainer was breaking his own ankles on purpose.
So before we go, let's do a quick final on this clutch player of the year. Who do you have? Or do you want me to start off?
You start off.
All right. So this player, I don't want to say came out of nowhere because he had some flashes with his previous team. Mm. Then he went to his new team and just skyrocketed. I think now with getting his former Villanova teammate back, I think it's going to make him a little bit more comfortable. I think Julius Randle is going to actually let him be the clutch guy. Mm. He had his moments. I think Jalen Brunson will be that guy. Brunson showed out a lot last year. In the playoffs, he was their clutchest player. I think he's going to be the guy to get the ball in the final minutes of the game and just take over.
I like that pick. That's a really smooth pick. It makes sense. The only thing that could mess it up is Julius Randle, really.
And Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too. If I had to make my pick for Clutch Player of the Year, this one's kind of tough because it's a new award. I could see being Devin Booker, mm-hmm. but if it's not Devin Booker, I think a lot of people, because he has so much all-star talent with him, I think I would like to see it go to I literally just blanked on this person's name. Give me
what team? What team?
I'm just trying to think. I literally had it, and it literally left me. It was Devin Booker, and it was someone else. Darius Garland. That's what.
Okay, Darius. The thing with Darius Garland is he has Donovan Mitchell.
I get that, but I think there's one game I think in the playoffs, and he was one that hit the big shot, and I just think he's a huge Kobe guy, huge Kobe fan, and I just think he lives for those type of moments. I think Donovan Mitchell sometimes fails.
Yeah.
In those moments.
Actually, I feel like it's the other way around. I think Donovan Mitchell is the only one that can actually do stuff. And Darius Garland. Because we saw in the playoffs, Darius Garland was not good.
He had his moments. He wasn't the best.
Donovan Mitchell would be the one to actually come down the court and take over, I feel like. So.
Yeah. But I feel like at the same time, maybe you're right. I don't know. Because, I feel like LeBron, D-Wade was the guy at first.
Yeah, D-Wade was the guy, and then LeBron became the guy.
So I feel like it's going to be maybe one of those situations.
Maybe.
But we'll see.
Also, one last thing before we go. I have another contender who I think could actually be it. Jason Tatum. I think he could sneak into the Clutch Player of the Year award. We saw what he did. I feel he just sat out a lot last year in some of those games. So I think if they actually give him the ball in those clutch situations, because he showed he can do it. So I think that's a little runner-up, in my opinion, I feel like.
Yeah, I like that. If I had to make one more guess, it would probably be if Luka doesn't win MVP, then I'm going to go with Luka.
Yeah.
Because that makes sense. Or Anthony Edwards, because Anthony Edwards, I feel like, is going to be turning up the notch this year. Well, thank you guys for listening to us. This has been the Student Section NBA on WVUA 90.7. You all have a great night.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.